Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, we are in the last days. You need to learn the way of fighting. Everyone must be a warrior at this time. This is not the time for sugar-coated Christianity. You have to be a battle axe. This is a wicked world. Galatians 1:4 calls it an evil age. What you can't fight for, you can't have. Even if it were yours legitimately, if you can't fight for it, you can't have it. But Jesus will continually suffice us with grace. Hallelujah. Time is spent. I wish we just prayed to the end. Just charge, charge. Charge your spirit. When you are going home, even if they collide with you by mistake, they will run. You will spoil their charm. You think they don't know? It's Christians that are spiritual illiterates. These people, they have understanding. Before they go out, they don't just go out and say, today is Wednesday, let's go and attack. It takes a lot of astrology, spiritual map reading, to know when to go out. That's why we keep diffusing their operations, spoiling things for them. My friend was sharing the other day, they brought weapons into the city. And they were praying and praying. And God said, no, don't pray against them. Call the rain. He said, the charm they brought is sensitive to water. And it rained in this city for over 4 weeks. Until the whole plan is scattered. They will go back and sleep in the grave for 7 days. Bring another charm where we scatter it. Give the Lord a shout. Praise God. We had a great week. I was in Ghana and the Lord did wonderful things. And on Saturday, the team was, Dafara village for medical outreach. And medical outreach became a healing campaign. The prayer people went on a fast, came and all kinds of things were happening. Deliverances, strange healings, and it was so beautiful. We'll have some of those clips maybe for next service. Next Sunday will be a miracle service. So we'll have some of those clips. And then from November, we'll have back-to-back outreaches and invasions. as we pursue the Project 5 Million Souls, since I have just 35 minutes or so, let me wrap up this teaching this evening. We are looking at a series. Spiritual authority or walking in authority. That's what we've been considering for this month. And I want to believe most of you are already walking in authority. How many of you are operating in authority already? Just wave at me. Wow. Glory to God. And so I told you, basically, there are five things that makes for authority. And please, interact with these things, not just religiously, but with a heart to understand and to apply. One of the problems we have as believers is that the moment we come to church, we put on the cloak of religion. And so even when spiritual instructions are given, we don't apply them with expectations or with hope of getting results. Sometimes we just get excited in God's presence and we just go without that consciousness of carrying what we've received and also applying them. That's why the Bible says, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because the idea is not to bombard us with more and more revelations and sometimes to even be fascinated, is to catch these things and to apply them. The results are the proofs that these things are real and they are working and that you are a witness of these things. So don't just hear many things. Bible verses, enjoy the atmosphere and go home and take off that religious garment and face your life the way you were facing it as a defeated person. When you catch the word, you take it out and collide with the circumstances of your life. That's the essence of the teaching. Sometimes when I'm teaching, people get transfixed. They are just looking in bewilderment. And I stop. I say, I'm not trying to fascinate you. These are realities in the spirit. I want you to catch them and apply them. A man went to a church, or better still, he started a walk. And he preached one sermon on a Sunday. He came back the next Sunday and preached the same sermon. They thought he wanted to do a recap. He preached everything he preached. They were wondering, did he forget? He came back the next Sunday and preached the same sermon. People started murmuring in the service. He came back the next Sunday and preached the same sermon. Some people now said, Oga, is this the only thing they taught you in Bible school? He said, no. Because since I'm teaching it, I've not seen any change. And since you are not yet applying it, there's no need to teach more. Because the idea of teaching is not to be teaching new things. It's transformation. And I'm not seeing what I'm teaching. So we will keep at it until you receive this one. Then we start again. I can't give you food, you collect it, you keep somewhere, and then you stretch your hand. I will carry the same food and give you. Eat this one first. That's what many believers need to do, or needs to be done to them. They love new revelations. They love new rhema. They catch it. They are shouting, but they never apply it. It's a sign that they are babes. It's a strong meat belongs to them, who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses. Exercise means put to work so that they discern between good and evil. And so when we started looking at the subject of authority, we said there were five things basically that makes for authority in this kingdom. And I said the first is the new birth. The new birth brings you into authority. He said he came unto his own. His own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, the right to become the sons of God. So new birth confers authority upon you. And I said the reason is because the guilt and the reproach of sin was rolled away at the cross. And you were brought into a new economy of resurrection. Because the reason you lost your authority in the first place was because in Adam, you fell. So when the devil tempted Jesus, he said, bow down to me. I will give you the glory of the world, for it has been delivered to me. And Jesus didn't argue because it was the fact. Adam, who was the first dominion of the earth, handed over his authority to the devil by willfully obeying him. So it's been handed to him. Now, Jesus, through his substitutionary death, took our place in sin so that the reproach and the guilt of sin can be rolled away. Because of that, I said, you were brought back into that authority that was lost. Because what took the authority from you is justly recompensed. But I said, over and above that, something else happened. That when we were born again, Jesus, number one, gave us the right to use his name. And his name is a seal of authority in the spirit. So everyone who is born again has the right, in addition to the fact that he is restored to the Adamic realm, to now use the name of Jesus. And so in Mark 16, from verse 17, it said, these signs shall follow not the whole world. It shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In my name, they shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, and they shall by no means be hurt. So the second thing Jesus did was the fact that he gave us the authority to use his name. And so I said the believer must, number one, become conscious of the right to the use of that name. And number two, he must actively deploy that name. And so if you are going out, go out in the name of Jesus. If you are going to your job, go in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, it said, do in the name of the Lord. And I said, over and above that, Jesus also made something available to us. And I said, the second thing Jesus made available to us is that, in addition to bringing us into the right of the first Adam, in addition to give us the right to use his name, Jesus was not just a man. He was the last Adam. The first Adam had its authority. The last Adam also has his own authority. He said the first Adam was a living soul. He said, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. He said the first Adam is of the earth. He said the last Adam is Lord from heaven. So the first Adamic authority, which we now have, is different from the second Adamic authority Jesus was walking with. This is why he was walking in Nazareth. He could cast out devils because he had an authority in himself as the last Adam. And so I said, in addition to restoring us to what we lost in the first Adam, in addition to giving us his name, he now gives us the right to become the last Adam. So we are not a race after the first Adam. We are now a race after the last Adam. And because the last Adam is Lord from heaven, every one of us walks naturally in the realm of lordship. All of that package was available to us in the new birth. So the first and the foundational doctrine of authority is authority by DNA, or authority by spiritual birth. And everyone who is here, who is born again, with the right understanding, should walk in this authority. So casting out devils now should not be something for apostles and prophets. It should be a reality for everyone that believes. Do you believe? When was the last time you cast out devils? You see why the scripture said, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Do you believe? The answer is yes. When was the last time you cast out devils? Do you believe? Yes. When was the last time you laid hands on the sick? If somebody tells you, I have headache, you say, where's paracetamol? You have become a doctor by default. But you are here, you are told that if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This is October. Tomorrow or next will be in November. You have not laid hands on the sick in 10 months. This message very soon will become a story to you, a storybook that you just read, because you will not walk in the reality. You see where the believer has problem? When he sees an apostle lay hands on people, he says, "My God, see what God has done for this man. See the way God is using this man." God is not using the man on TV. He's using the man because he goes to the sick. He goes to the deep demonized. He goes to the helpless. And you also have that same right and authority to do the same. The second realm of authority that we looked at, we said it's authority by height. Because you deal with demons by your birthright. But when it has to do with right height, you are dealing with beings that are superior to demons. They are principalities. Hope you remember that Jesus himself, who is the first last Adam. Can you imagine the phrase? He is the first last Adam, because we too are the last Adam. The devil met him on the Mount of Temptation after 40 days fasting and prayer. He said, "Are you the Son of God? Are you sure? If you are the one, turn these stones to bread." So there are beings that are not intimidated by your fasting. In fact, it's after you finish fasting that they will bring that contract for you and say, "Why not change the quotation by adding 2 zeros? You can just become a millionaire." It's after you finish fasting that they will manipulate that young lady to come to you and expose her body. And then you are wondering, they are not afraid of fasting. The only thing that intimidates them is height. And so I told you, height is superior to DNA. So if you want to deal with principalities, you have to go to where you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so I said, height has a dynamics. And I said, the dynamics of height is fivefold. I said, number one, you come to Mount Zion. And that happens to you at the new birth. I'm doing this final recap because this is the last class on this subject. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have come. So everyone who is born again, you are at the foot of Mount Zion. But at the foot of Mount Zion, you can be in trouble. Because he said, woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. Because it will take labor now to climb. You can be at ease because it is a new birth technology that brought you there. You didn't do anything. But if you remain there, you'll be in trouble. And so now that you've come to Mount Zion, if you want to grow in authority, you have to learn to ascend Mount Zion. Because Paul, who taught in Ephesians 2:6 and Ephesians 1:21 that Christ is seated in heavenly places and that we are seated with Christ, is the same person who taught in Colossians 3 from verse 1 to 3 that if we are risen with Christ, our affection should be on the things above. So Paul knows that you can be there legally, but experientially you may not be there. If your affection is tied to the world, you are descended. That legality won't save you. And so in order to ascend, we said we have to do something else. And so number one is to come. Number two is to ascend. And we said the way to ascend is twofold. Number one is by sound. That's why you come to church. You came flat and tired. But as they are worshiping, after a while, you sense momentum. And you who came to church afraid and tired, suddenly you start jumping, you start prophesying, you start making declaration. Now, that power was available, but it was at a height. The worshiper helped you to ascend. Because every time sound comes to you, there's an ascension. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, it says, I heard a sound as of a trumpet. As I turned, he was no longer in Patmos. At first, he was in Patmos. But the moment sound came, he left Patmos. He found himself in the throne room. In Revelation 4 verse 1, he said, the same voice that I heard spoke to me. And he said, come up hither. As I turned, a door opened in heaven and he went up. So what takes men up are sounds. And I said, sound sometimes may not be audible. It can be inaudible. Because sound is not about volume, it's about frequency. And the frequency of sound in the spirit is the rhema word. When the word of God begins to travel in your direction, every word that comes to you is a distinct sound in the spirit. And there's a location it can take you to. And so you may not hear a sound of a trumpet like John, but every time a rhema word comes into your spirit, you are ready for ascension. And so what you need to do to prepare yourself for that kind of sound, the Bible taught us in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it said, they that wait upon the Lord. It said, they mount up with wings like the eagles. So the posture to assume in order to hear sound is the posture of waiting. And I taught you the difference between waiting and praying. In prayer, you are engaging God. God is engaging you. You are charging your spirit. But in waiting, it's a still place where your soul is not carrying out any transaction. It will take prayer to arrive at waiting. Because many times, your soul has a lot of activities. So most times when you are praying, what you are trying to do is to detach your soul from the many noise, surrounding noise. When you are able to do that, you will be shocked that your soul can become quiet. There is a state you get to where you are not thinking anything, you are not seeing anything, you are just quiet. At that point, you are like the virgin that is waiting for the bridegroom. That's where sounds begin to come to your spirit. And so the second thing that happens is to ascend. But the way to ascend is to do what? Quieten your soul until you are able to pick sound. Maybe he's picking a sound. I said, praise God. The second way to pick sound is by stirring your spirit. It's called intensity or intensification. He said, you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, I'm showing you why men are defeated in life. This is not Bible story. This is the secret of relevance. There are many persons who will not pay the price to journey. That's why they will keep depending on others to do for them what they should do for themselves. The reason you will find 10,000 Christians join line for another Christian to pray for them is this. Because one ascends, and because he's ascended, he becomes Lord over the others. You can't, there's no gimmick about it. And so if you want to be relevant in life, you will leave this coming to church Christianity and begin to journey in the spirit. Some of us, our spirits are too noisy. If they put a spiritual stethoscope to your chest, they will hear the sound of many things. The market, the malice, the backbiting, even the ones they didn't invite. Some people are looking for where they are gossiping people. Because they are exhausted. They've exhausted all the people in their heart. And now that they've exhausted everybody, they are walking. They now come and they suspect that something is happening between two people. They now come and start asking you, how is this person? It's a lie. They don't care about that person. They are waiting for you to start the story. Are you sure? You mean you people are doing fine? Really? My God. God is so gracious. It's a lie. If you just cough and say, well, God is helping us, but I don't know what he's doing. What do you mean? What happened? Because he's exhausted. He's looking for more noise. What happened? The next thing, he will become an evangelist for 2 weeks. My brother, wonders shall never end. He will carry his money, pay transport fare, go to another person's house and say, do you hear what they said is happening between Martha and Elizabeth? The Christianity of nowadays. My God. The person say, what is happening? He say, you have not heard. How will she hear? Are you not the excavator? But the one they said, and the ones they didn't say, but you assume, you will now add it together and stir something. He said, to put aside every weight that doth easily beset us and run the race with patience. They can't charge their spirit. When you are ascended and your spirit is charged, some conversations irritate you. He said, because thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Somebody comes to malign somebody before you, say, brother, I don't gossip people. The audacity with which you say it, himself knows next time he won't come close to you. I don't gossip people. Somebody comes, tells you somebody about somebody, you say, wait, give me 1 minute. You now call the person. Matter is here, and matter is telling me now. She will start saying, no. If you can't have me repeat it before that person, don't tell me. My people know. If you talk, I'll just say, okay. This brother said like this. What happened? Because if you allow that kind of demonic rubbish, it will choke your soul. It will choke you. You can't have intensity. A journey that should take you 5 minutes, you will now be using 3 hours because of the weights that you are carrying. I don't have enough time. And because I want to maximize time, I alight myself of unnecessary bodies. Somebody came to me. In fact, they sent me a link. I said, imagine what these people said about you. I've been trained well. When Pastor Chris trained us, he said, if there's a rumor about somebody, don't click it. He said, if you click it, you make it strong and popular. Influence on the internet is gained by views. He said, don't click it. And Bishop Oedipo told us, he said, if they speak against you, it means they are behind. So don't join them. Go forward. He was coming home the other day, came home, and the wife on the TV and said, see what these people are talking against you. Collected the remote and offed it. Not me. I don't hear such news. There are breaking news in heaven. What concerns me with a hungry man on social media? That person is looking for cheap money. He doesn't have value to offer. And because he doesn't have value, he's looking for news. So he can concoct lies to get view and get cheap money from YouTube. We are changing lives and destinies. What concerns me with somebody who is looking for attention? They are garbages. You rid your soul of those things so that you can ascend. Because it takes intensity to ascend. Now when you are ascended, we said you will now stand. Because the third level of authority by height is to stand. And I said, to stand, your hands must be pure. You see why many preachers can't talk boldly again. You can't challenge the government if you took bribe from them. The lawyer say, him that comes to equity must come with clean hands. The reason many ministers are popular but they have no authority is because it takes integrity to exercise authority and they don't have it. You have received bribe. You have stolen money. When you want to talk, the government officials will just send you a message and said, please remember September 2015. You will see that message. You can't understand it, but they know. They, as you start talking, they will say, ah, hello, man of God. I saw you speaking boldly online. You say, well, God asked me to say, do you still remember September 2015? Okay, thank you. I just felt I should remind you. If you have no clean hands, you can't exercise authority. So for you to stand, your hands must be pure. Your heart must be pure. Your soul must not be lifted in vanity. And you must not swear deceitfully. Many times the reason Christians don't have authority is because their hands are soiled. You cannot substitute praying in tongues with integrity. My brother was preaching here on Tuesday and he said, the prayer points we need to pray are too many. He said, let's summarize it in holiness. There are too many prayer points. Just summarize it into holiness. If you live holy, your prayer points will reduce. It's called purity. That's how you stand in God's presence. And men like Elijah, who commanded fire to come from heaven, the credential Elijah gave us was that he stands in God's presence. He said, before God, whom I stand. That's all. If you can stand, you can change things. When Zacharias came to what's his name? Gabriel came to Zacharias. He said, I am Gabriel that stands in God's presence. There's authority to stand. But standing is not this posture. It's a pure hands. It's a pure heart. It's brokenness and humility. And it's purity, integrity. Not swearing or speaking with your tongue on both sides. Many believers have no integrity. That's why they don't have authority. And then finally we say, when you stand, then you also have to abide in God's presence. And I said, to abide in God's presence is priesthood, is to minister to the Lord. When you find a man who has authority, he knows what to tell God. You know, in those days, every king, they have orators around them. The job of the orators is to stir the heart of the king. The person will wake up in the morning and stand. He will first of all the titles of the king. All. From the great grandfather to the father to him. When he finishes calling the title, he will now start reciting the wars that the king has conquered. And then he will now start talking about the fame of the king. He can look at him and said, the one that walks in the midst of the lions. The one that tore the bear with his hands. The one that is clothed with the garment of a tiger. The one that shouts and his voice is like thunder. When he says that for a while, the king will now stand up. That's how you build the majesty of a king, through utterance. So priesthood is actually not just praying. Priesthood is the ability to woo God, to woo him. So when you enter the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah is waiting. He wants to find out if you have utterance. It takes utterance to do priesthood. When you read, why do you think men like David were so powerful? They were poetic. If they come before God, when they start talking and eulogizing God, even if God is in a meeting in the third heaven, God will show and say, what were you saying? Have you read the Psalms? It said, the voice of God is full of majesty. The voice of God is upon many waters. It said, the voice of God thundereth. It divided the flames of fire. It causes the hind to calve. It said, the voice of God discovered the forest. That's the voice of God he's only talking about. How can God hear such and not speak to him? That's what priesthood is about. Is the ability to eulogize God. Speak of his glory. Speak of his majesty. When you talk it over and over, he will appear in his brightness, because he knows you know how to handle glory. That's what the leaders of the church in Antioch were doing. He said they fasted and they ministered unto the Lord. When he said the priesthood should be instituted, he didn't say they should pray. He said, separate unto me Aaron and his son, that they will minister unto me in the priestly office. There are many people who say they are priests and they don't know how to hear God. Your priesthood will be dry. And the way you know is the level of backing that God will give you. When you are done sweating in prayer, very little will happen. But somebody else can just come to God's presence. When he comes, he will just lie down and start rolling. He will just be rolling. He has not said anything. He's just rolling. When he rolls for like 30 minutes, then he will start talking about God. Who is like unto you? In all the earth. He said, him that rides upon the cloud. Him that is brighter than the sun. He said, when you speak, the earth trembles. He said, your brightness is like the lightning. Your glory covered the earth. You are deeper than the ocean. See, when that kind of person is talking, suddenly the first thing you see are the cherubims. He will show you the glory. He will show you. That's how to dwell in the presence of God. That's why he said, who shall enter his courts? The way you enter his courts, he says, with praises. Praises. So those who have authority beyond standing, they are those who praise God. And those ones are the dwellers. Even when they want to go, God say, wait. Did you not read about the 20 and 4 elders? Read Revelation chapter 4. The Bible said, day and night, forever and ever. What are they doing? They are falling from their thrones, casting their crown. And they said, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. And they said, the whole earth was created for thy pleasure. They are just praising him. I told them in the morning where I was ministering, I said, the everlasting priesthood is not prayer. The everlasting priesthood is worship. That's what happened in the heights of Zion. If you know how to pray and you don't know how to praise God, your authority level will be small. Have you seen these fathers of faith? When they are dancing, they are like children. They know the secret. The way you dwell in his presence is by praise. Sing his praise. If you don't know how to do it, go and read the Psalms. Gather it when you show up. Loud it on him. And see the way God will back you with power. Before you speak, he will answer. Most people don't know the secrets. They come to God, they keep heaping their crisis on God, heaping their challenges. You won't go far. And so the way to dwell in God's presence is to praise him, is to worship him, is to exalt him, is to glorify him. Nobody is too big for it. David was a king in this matter. David would dance until he becomes naked, and he doesn't care if he's in the public. How would God not call him the apple of his eyes? Who praised God like David? Sang God's praise, eulogized God. Morning, night, every day. People who know how to praise God need to emerge again and see the dangerous thing God will begin to do in your life. To dwell in the house of God is to praise him, is to honor him, is to worship him. He said, him that honor me, I will honor. He said, but him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. And I said, the final realm of authority by height is when God sends you from his mountain. He said, saviors shall come from Mount Zion. These things are not stories. I would rather stop this series here and have you apply it than to say more and you don't do. Because if you do these things, you'll be shocked. If you do these things, you'll be shocked. That job that is defining your faith, that situation that is mocking and molesting you, if you leave that situation for a day and pour yourself before God, before you come back, the situation will go. There are secrets of authority. And men who do these things, they are sent very high in the spirit. Now, having said that, I touched the next three. I said the next one is authority by light. And then after that is authority by obedience. And then after that is authority by service. I'll use a few minutes just to recap them and make declarations over you. Because God will not only visit you, you will become God's seal of authority to your generation. Yeah, yeah. Zion in the new birth. You ascend Mount Zion through sounds. either by the rhema word or by the intensification of your spirit in the place of prayer, worship, and meditation. You stand on Mount Zion through integrity, and then you dwell in Mount Zion through praise to the living God. And finally, you are sent from Mount Zion by God's sovereign decree. That's the second kind of authority. Now, the third kind of authority, please follow me, at least take some notes. You know, the last two sessions we had, I won't speak for 30 minutes, everywhere explodes, and I can't teach. I want you to get this and write it. The third kind of authority is authority by light. Light was designed naturally to exercise authority and dominion. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible said God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And so what you will find there is intrinsic and inherent with light is the power for rulership. Everywhere light comes, rulership is naturally activated because that is part of light's DNA. Light does not know how to do anything other than ruling. This room is a very dark room. This room we are in now. If you put off this light, it won't take a second before darkness takes over. The reason darkness is not here is not because it's cooperating with the light. It's because the light is bullying it out. If you take this light out, this darkness will come in like a hungry tiger. And so when light comes into your life, no matter how ferocious darkness is, it will count for nothing. In fact, in John chapter 1 verse 4, it said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. Two things you will notice there is that light deliberately hides its glory in light. Where light displays its glory is in darkness. So light is looking for darkness in order to showcase its supremacy. It said it's in darkness that light shines. Light does not shine in light. Light only shines in darkness. And the second thing he said is that it is not built into darkness to have the power to resist light. He said the darkness comprehended it not. And so any area of your life that you are failing to exercise authority is actually not an issue of circumstance. It's a revelation of darkness in your life. Every area you struggle is actually a revelation of the absence of light. So instead of facing that challenge, go and get light. The moment you get light, that challenge is already built to understand the supremacy of light. That if light show up, the challenge on its own will work out. So your problem is not the mountain. Your problem is the lack of light in your life. The question is, how do you apprehend light? In the kingdom, you apprehend light by seeing. Light in the kingdom is not a ray. The Bible said the eyes of a man is the light of his body. So when you want to find out the measure and the expression of light in a man's life, find out what he's seeing. That's why the devil is in the business of blinding men. Because if you are blind, the presence of the ray counts for nothing. So the actual light is actually your ability to see, not the ray of light. So in the spirit, a man has light when he can see. If you cannot see, you don't have light. Even if there was a ray of light there, you are in darkness. Your seeability in the spirit is your light. And if you cannot see, you are already in darkness. So, if we are dealing with authority by light, what you should be interested in is on how to make men see. Because if men cannot see, the ray counts for nothing. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 to 4 said. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What gave them the status of being lost? It is the blindness of their eyes. That means if a man is blinded, he's already lost. A man is not lost because the gospel is not available. A man is lost because he's blinded. Because no matter what you do, it can't profit him. It is lost. They are lost because the God of this world had blinded their eyes. Their eyes, their minds have been blinded. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul was speaking. He said, it is by sin. No, he said, the reason we are ostracized from the commonwealth of Israel is not because the wealth is not available. He says, because our understandings have been darkened. That means even if God brings everything you ever need, you can't possess it. Because your understanding is darkened. And so a man without light is separated from the heritage of God and is a slave of the devil. That's why he can never exercise authority. How do you activate the sight? Number one is by praying. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. It says, for this cause I pray for the church that is in Ephesus, that God may grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the way you activate the spirit of wisdom and revelation is by praying consciously for it. There are many people who don't know that they need to kneel down and ask God, give me understanding. The psalmist was praying. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. Your major prayer is not, God, give me a breakthrough. Your major prayer should be, God, open my eyes. Let me see. God, open my understanding. Let me see wondrous things out of thy law. If you don't pray consciously for your eyes to be open, even the gospel will keep you blind. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is he to them that are lost, whom are blinded. You will think if somebody hears the gospel, will naturally hear. No. What opens the eyes of men is to consciously pray for eyes that see. And so somebody who wants to really begin to walk in authority needs to sit down properly and tell the Lord, remove the scales from my eyes. Cause my eyes to begin to see. Did you not see Paul, the apostle? He was blind. The Bible said Ananias came to him, laid hands on him, and as he prayed for him, he said the scale fell off his eyes and his eyes opened. When we tell believers to pray all kinds of prayer, they think it's just religion. Prayer is not religion. There are many things prayer do for you or does for you and in you that is beyond what you are asking for. That's why most of you here, you receive that inspiration for your business, either when you were fasting or praying. It was already there, but you couldn't see it. What the prayer did was to open your eyes. Because what you call inspiration is eyes that see. And there is a realm you will get to. If your eyes are open, you will be walking and you will know what to do. The Bible spoke concerning Jesus. He said himself knew what he should do. A man with open eyes is a man that prays. Because the fastest thing to take blindness off a man's eyes is prayer. Many times, find out people who are confused, they don't pray. They are just looking for somebody to hold their hands and say, Kai, God is telling me this. God is telling me that. They are looking for the easy way out. And so the devil will heap scales on their eyes. Great and mighty destinies will not be realized because eyes are blinded. I pray for you this evening. Every scale blinding your eyes by the power of the Holy Ghost, they fall off tonight. Authority is a function of light, and light is a function of sight. In Job 29, from verse 3, it says, I was in the days of my youth when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light I walk through darkness. Our problem is not darkness. Our problem is the absence of light. When you carry light, the situations that pull men down are the situations that glorify you. What do you think will happen today if everybody on earth becomes sickless, immediately the healing ministry will end. The ministry of working on miracles will end immediately. If everybody on earth today begins to live above sickness, the healing anointing, those who have it already will just discover it's a wasted commodity. The reason that anointing is there, and the reason many people are glorified by that anointing, is because of the many helpless sick people. Imagine today if everybody had direction. The gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom will end immediately. Nobody will need it anymore. And so the problem is not the darkness. The problem is you don't have light. The moment you have light, darkness becomes your platform, because it is in darkness that light shines. In the same vein, it is in darkness that the believer is glorified. But too many believers are walking in darkness, and the reason is because they are not given to prayer. A man who does not pray will be blind, because what takes that scale off your eyes is to bow your knees in prayer and ask the God of light to open your understanding. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, which is also light, he said, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and unbraideth not. As I'm teaching now, many will hear, but they will still not pray. We will come for prayer meeting and be dragging them to pray 3 hours. They will still not pray. They will now come and meet you and tell you they had a dream. How do you think I will know that dream? Did they tell you that part of apostolic package is interpretation of dream? Somebody will pray 3 hours. When they finish, they still come to you and say, I don't know what is happening to my job. Have you searched in the spirit? It is the same eyes you have that I have. And I'm not able to address that problem because I'm an apostle. I'm able to address it because I know how. And the how is to pray for your understanding to be enlightened. And if you will take up or make up your mind to begin to explore light in the place of prayer, you'll be shocked the level of understanding you will walk into. Every problem men see, you will see an answer to a generation. Every crisis men see, you will see an answer to a generation. The difference between the ruler and the beggar is the light that is available to them. Why do you think we counsel people against worldliness? One of the things worldliness does is to blind you. And the devil knows. Believers are not aware that the greatest point of attack in their life is their spiritual eyes. You can be as strong as a Samson. If your eyes are gouged out, you are finished. And so there are many mighty destinies that their eyes are being plucked out on a daily basis through worldliness. So you find a man with all the strength, but he's being mocked daily. Because when the devil plucks out your eyes, the next thing he does is to mock you. And you know that you should be an answer to your generation, but you can't tell why you have been reduced to an object of mockery. Your eyes have been gouged out. The attack on our spiritual eyes are many. And if there is one thing we must do, is to guard it. Don't let anything blind you. Today they wake up, they are tearing every jean. You are tearing jean. They wake up, they are sagging trouser to this place. You are sagging it. You say, oh boy, it's fashion. What is happening? 7 years ago or 8 years ago, when FUBU was raining, FUBU. Hey! One trouser is like skirt. And then you see every young man on the street. Man, what's happening, man? And then Timberland. The jeans alone is really FUBU. Then they add Timberland on it. Then they now sack it. And now fold the jeans and hang it on top. And they are moving like this. As if they are carrying bricks. They don't know that these things are spiritual dynamics. They think it's fashion. After a few years, they move from one extreme to another. To show you that these things are mind control mechanisms. They move from FUBU jeans overnight to pencil jeans. And the same people
that were wearing baggy suddenly began to wear jeans that is as tight as a balloon. Some people are walking, their leg is like this, because the jeans is so tight, they can't even sit well. And they think they like it. You that 3 years ago, you love the bogus jeans. 3 years later, you love a tight jean. And you think it's about like. You don't know these are mind control mechanisms. They are shifting the minds of a generation. And as they move from there, they began to tear every jean. And you find people walking like mad people on the street. And they say it's fashion. Who told you it's fashion? Princes that rule civilizations are manipulating the souls of men. And they think it's fashion. And the same thing is applied even in church today. Somebody comes that is singing. He's dancing like a superstar. And he says it's a new dance step. Where did they pick it from? You don't know these things are acts of worship. That's why the more they are growing in their music career, the more godless they become. The things they pursued when they were seeking God, they've lost all of them. Because they become worshippers of demons. If we lift up hands and the Bible calls it worship, who told you all those dance steps you are dancing? It's not worship. And they say they are music ministers. Don't let any superstar come and pollute your atmosphere because he is popular. Popularity is not authority. Even madmen are popular. It is the blindness of this age. Worldliness. And that's why men no longer have authority. You are current with every worldly trend. And then you show up in church because you think you speak polished English. Demons will hear it. The way they will begin with you is to strike you with leprosy or paralysis. Just to show the world that you don't know what you are doing. Do you know these spirits? They are vicious, but they are intelligent. The way we build authority is by safeguarding our eyes. And your eyes are safeguarded when you give it only to purity. Job said, I vowed that my eyes will not look upon the virgins. No wonder he had so much power with God. You can quote 1,000 scripture. It doesn't mean you have light. Because God will not give you based on the scripture you quote. He said, as far as your eyes can see, that's what I'm committed to give you. If you can't see, you can't have. And the devil knows it's a law in the spirit. That even if God wants to give you, God is only mandated to give you as far as your eyes can see. So if the devil wants to deal with you, he will plug out your eyes and allow you with religion. Authority is by light. And light is based on what you can see. I can assure you that many people here, they have not seen anything from the realm of God in a long time. Number four, authority by obedience. I beg you, hear these things and apply them. Your life will depend on it. The lives of your children will depend on it. This is not cliche. I know where I was, and I know where I am now, and I also know where I'm going. I can tell you 1,001 times, I prefer where I am now than where I was. And I don't plan going back to where I was. What I'm telling you is why your children will live a better life. Even the devil knows that if it's in this life, my children will live as kings. The devil knows. Because of how much light I've acquired. Even the devil knows they will never pray for money. They will never pray for food. They will never pray for a good life. If they surrender it to serve God, it will be willfully. Because of light. What I'm teaching you, it will determine the quality of your existence. Don't waste your destiny depending on another man. Search out realities for yourself. Who told you another man can be a guarantee for your destiny just because he's called your pastor?
People need understanding. People need understanding.
Your pastor may love you, but he's a man. He can't even do for you what he will do for his biological children. And even to his biological children, he's not guaranteed enough. Meanwhile, he will do for his children more than he will do for you. And then you risk your existence depending on him. The best thing he can do for you are the sets of truths he gives you. Apply it and change the quality of your life. All this beggarly Christianity of trying to please men, bending down, greeting them, cleaning their shoe, forget that nonsense. Wake up, receive truth, and apply it.
I will talk about obedience. You will hear some things. They say fast, they won't fast. Pray, they won't pray. Go for evangelism, they won't go. Give, they won't give. Even when we say God prosper you, not everybody receives at the same level. If you go to a place where they make financial decree and the testimony is rapid, it's because most of them are covenant practitioners. Because they engage the covenant, their faith is open to receive. And because they engage the covenant, it becomes easy for God to walk through them. You don't give, you don't tithe, you don't give offering, you don't give any form of giving. They say this week you will prosper. You jump and hug the ceiling. The man who gives doesn't need to shout as much as we are shouting. But his faith has already conquered it. People don't know truth. And they think God is a God of evolution. That you do it over and over does not mean there's power in it. It's not evolution. God is a God of creation. You know it, you do it, it works. You don't know it, do it a million times, it won't work. Authority comes by light. And then authority comes by obedience. He said in 2 Corinthians 10, from verse 3 to verse 5, he said, though we war in the flesh, he said, our battles are not in the flesh. He said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, casting down imaginations. Every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. And he said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then, so there is an authority that comes upon you when your obedience is fulfilled. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you'll be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There are many people who are willing, but they are not obedient. And no matter how willing you are, if you are not obedient, you can never eat the good of the land. The good of the land is tied to willingness and obedience. God was speaking through Samuel to Saul. In 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, he said, does God delight so much in sacrifices than he does to obedience? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. When a man begins to obey a spirit or the laws of a spirit or the word of a spirit, he is proving to that spirit that he's dependable. That's when that spirit can confer authority to that man. We are a rebellious generation. Some are rebellious in terms of sin, and some are rebellious in terms of refusing to comply with the things of God. Hear me, brothers and sisters. If you are not a covenant practitioner, it will be difficult for you to prosper by kingdom prosperity standards. That obedience is first of all a sign that you believe the whole subject. If you are not obedient in covenant practice, you don't have faith to receive by prophecy. Because your obedience is a testimony that this whole package, you believe in it. You can't mock God. God gives you 1,001 instructions. You violate all of them. And then you come back. You want to deceive God, the Ancient of Days. Don't you think your wisdom is too myopic to try to outsmart him? To obey is better than sacrifice. There is a power you get into when you start obeying God. There's an authority level you step into when you start obeying God. When God wants to help people, he begins to warn them against rebellion. In Psalm 40, verse 6 to 7, he said, see what the Bible said, or Jeremiah 11, verse 7. He said, for I solemnly warned your fathers when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, to obey my voice. Because God's guarantee is tied to your obedience. His faithfulness will never be compromised. But if your obedience is compromised, then he can't guarantee you. So the fourth kind of authority that a man can command is authority through obedience. The devil understands this. The devil will not come to tell you that what God promised you is a lie. He knows that you believe it too much to accept that deceit. But what the devil will do is that he will make you disobey God. If you disobey God, God is true. His promises are true, but in your life, it will not be true. You want to live the invincible realm of dimension of life. It's tied to obedience. I tell people, there are no secrets in this kingdom. People only refuse to follow what God says. The truth of God is in black and white. He said it is given unto you to know the secrets of the kingdom. There are no secrets anywhere. They say pray, you don't pray. They say give, you don't give. They say fast, you don't fast. Go out to win souls, you don't go out. And you are hoping that something will happen. Don't you ask those who are experiencing it, is it just happening by fluke? No! There's something they are doing. If you do it, it will happen to you. Unless you want to leave the kingdom of light and go to darkness. And so obedience is the 14 that confess authority. The higher the obedience, the higher the authority. The weaker the obedience, the weaker the authority. It's not all the time you exercise authority by feeling. The last meeting I went for in Ghana, after I finished sharing, I was so tired. I almost fainted on the altar. I now went and sat down. I said, now God will impart people. Some people looked at me while you are sitting. You don't need to charge for things to happen. If your obedience is intact, you can wake up from sleep and make a declaration and sleep again. It will happen. It's people who don't know authority that think it's always about a feeling. So they are waiting to start charging. When they are charging like this, then they now start making declaration. A man of authority can stroll in and say, what is happening? Say, he's dying. Say, no, I refuse. He didn't even say in the name of Jesus, no, I refuse. And he will walk away. And the person will still be doing as if he's dead. When he finishes, he will wake up. He won't even turn back. You shall not die. And he's going. The person is still struggling with death. He won't answer. After 10 minutes, they will run and say, the person is back to life. Did you not read about Jesus? When he came, the child that was deaf and dumb, come out of him. The spirit was throwing the child everywhere. If it is us, gymnastic will begin. Come out! Come out! Jesus said once, and once is enough. Even though the spirit was dragging him everywhere, he has gone. Whether the spirit likes it or not, the spirit will obey.
A man in authority is talking.
And after a while, the spirit left. Authority. I sat down. I said, Lord, touch them. Let 24 people come under a new season. They were packing them like dead men. If you don't build this authority, a day will come when you will not sense charisma. A day will come when you will not sense the excitement. You can go to certain places, the heaven will be shut. All you will invoke is your obedience. Everything you know to do will not be working, but you will remember. Did you not read about the prophet Hezekiah, the king? When the prophet came to tell him, you shall die, he went back and told God, I've obeyed you. I've kept all your laws. I've done everything you asked me to do with a perfect heart. And God sent the prophet before he went out of the compound. He said, go back and tell him, I've added 15 years to his life. When you want to see through authority, brother, beyond charisma, build your obedience. You will be shocked. The things you will say casually will still happen. In fact, God will begin to train you not to talk carelessly, because he will no longer know whether you are cracking a joke or not. If Buhari comes to public TV, television, national television now, and jokes that Monday is public holiday, hope you know, whether it's a joke or not, nobody will go to work. That's the level of authority that obedience brings. That everything you say becomes a law in the spirit. And this is what God is calling believers to. But our disobedience and disloyalty is too much to risk us with authority. Finally, authority by service. Hallelujah. 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 On a job, everybody hates you. How do you think you will survive without authority? You are in a world where both men and demons are hoping that you'll be destroyed. How will you survive? Do you know how many persons are waiting for bad news? They've already ganged up against you. They have discussed your end. Their ears are just waiting for something evil to happen to confirm their wickedness. Do you know the quarters where men are trying to pull you down? But the psalmist knew something. He said, surely they shall gather, but it shall not be by thee. He said, even when the devil and his cohort gang up against you, he said, the Lord shall lift his standard against them. Men want you destroyed. You didn't do anything to them. Hear this. They are angry that you are succeeding. The only thing they have against you is that you are making impact. They wished that you were destroyed. Do you think you can casually stroll through life with that kind of wickedness? If you know how many people are paying money for evil to be said about you, paying money is not just wishful thinking. If you know how many people have gathered men and prophesied your doom, you will be shocked. You can't afford to stroll through life. You need authority.
so that even in the midst of thorns and briars, you will walk through. Even in the fire, you will walk. Even in the water, you will walk. Because truly, there will be darkness upon the earth. He said, but the light shines through the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Sir, there are people waiting to hear that your business was crumbled, but they will never hear it. And the reason they will never hear it is because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein, and they are saved. There are people hoping that your ministry will shut down and you will run from the city, so that they will laugh at your disgrace and then find you in shame and in reproach. But the Lord will not allow it. He said, though the enemy comes in, he said, but like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up his standard against them. It's not about you. It's not about what you did. When you were poor, everybody loved you. When you were a beggar, everybody loved you. When you were handicapped, everybody loved you. But the moment the light of God shone on you, you became arrogant. You became proud. You became dishonorable. Because it is ingrained in the heart of men not to see anybody rise. I prophesy over somebody in this month of authority, arise above the wish of your enemies.
Alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia. Everybody that rose up against you unjustly, every canker against you unjustly, I decree by the Spirit, all their counsel will fail. I decree every arrow shot against you shall not stand. He says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the prey be taken from the hands of the mighty? He said, thus saith the Lord, even the lawful captive shall be delivered, and the prey of the terrible shall be set free. I decree, everywhere you are held in captivity, in this season, arise and come out of that window. Alle, alle, alle,
alle.
Men do, they set a trap for you. After they set the trap, they come and gang up and wait for you to fall in. Everybody waiting, hoping, wishing, and prophesying your death or your fall, they will be disappointed. And they will not just be disappointed, everything they wish you will happen to them. He said, he disappointed the devices of the crafty, so that their hands shall not perform their enterprise. Every dark and demonic enterprise over your life, I change it by the Spirit. I decree over you, disappoint your enemies. Disappoint the expectations of your enemies. Disappoint the expectations of the wicked. Marege toto alakaya. Bayate. Morua shabak.
Hallelujah.
Zoraka. Yeah, do. He said, many are they that have risen up against me. He said, they said there is no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. You shall not allow my feet to be moved. He said, him that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. I decree over you, from today, the Lord is the glory of your life. The Lord is your shield. The Lord is your exceeding great reward. And everywhere that you are expected to go down, I command a lifting for you now. I decree a lifting for you now. Hallelujah. 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 Their plans against you, they laughed about it. But hear this, that laughter is about to be turned to reproach. That laughter is about to be turned to shame, because what they expected to be your outcome, God will make you surpass it in the name of Jesus. We are in a wicked world. Do you know where men want you to be? They want you in the grave. And even when you die, it's not enough. They will still keep talking about you in this day. But the Lord has disappointed them. The Lord has given you the victory. The Lord has shielded you. And the Lord has made himself your glory. In the name of Jesus. Don't know the weight of what we are saying. A friend of mine, a young officer, he was posted to Maiduguri, served 2 years, 4 months. It was time for him to be posted out. And here was this boss who will not see this boy leave that place alive. A road that every 5 p.m. they must meet bandits. On the last day of his patrol, the officer told him to use that road and return to base around 5 p.m. without escort. Wickedness. After serving for 2 years, 4 months, you say he will not go back. While he was going, because in the army, how dare you? When they say it, you just hope God will deliver you. As he was going, a fellow officer, I think a lieutenant colonel or something, said, no, this boy, you can't die. And he sent two escorts with him. They ran into bandits and killed over 25 of them. After 2 years, 4 months, his dead body should have been what they made to his father. That's what the devil plans. I decree over you, systems may rise against you, powers may rise against you, authorities that be may rise against you. But hear the word of the Lord. The Lord will arise for your defense. The Lord will arise for your defense. Where you cannot fight for yourself, God will raise men to fight for you. God will raise the angelic host to fight for you. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Aliyah. Of time. God wants me to empower somebody against altars of household wickedness. Your battle is from your compound. They've tied destinies and thrown the key into the sea. But as I speak now, as surely as the Lord liveth, no matter the mystery that was concocted to tie you, I decree a reversal. In the name of Jesus. Aliyah. 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 The level of wickedness of men, the evil, the charm some men did, they used their own life in exchange. They said the day you marry, they will die. They said the day it becomes better for you, they will die. Now hear this, as you walk out of this service, you have become a death warrant in the spirit. As they see you, they go down, because that thing they are stopping you from, now enter. Now enter. Now enter. There's an anointing coming on three persons. It's about to break that spell. It's about to break that siege. Now enter. Out of time, so let me just release this on some of them. Just lift your hands up. There's an anointing that will come on you, like it will just be swift, but it's about to cause your reproach to pass. It's household wickedness. Hear this, they tied you from your father's house. But here's the word of the Lord. Hear this, the anointing will come upon you now to break the yoke. Everyone here who is tied, please be sensitive. Father, wherever they are, from the left to the right, to the gallery, to those watching online, now I command a release of that anointing. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Ushers, bring those three. The first three that comes down, bring them here. Let me lay hands on them quickly. Anointing. I release that fire. Take that fire now.
I'm seeing a family here. They dug a pit and they just carry your fortune, carry your goodwill, carry your destiny, and they are just putting them in the pit. And that pit will never be filled. It will never be filled. Now I decree by the Holy Ghost, everything that has been buried, everything that has been put in the pit, come out now. Come out now. And that pit that will never be filled, I shut it tonight. Somebody here, they frustrated you. They have frustrated you, but what they want to do in this December is to kill you. And you are already seeing accidents. You are already dreaming and seeing accidents because they are shooting arrows against you. Now, hear the word of the Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I change that program. I change that program. I command the grave to be shut up. And that arrow shot against you, I command it to go back. I command it to go back. I command it to go back. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Those who say you will die, you will cross over their trap. And the moment they see you, they will go down. Because they have exchanged your life for theirs. And so as you escape, they go down. I decree preservation. You will cross this year victoriously. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Give the Lord a shout.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.